Welcome, everybody. Thanks for listening to Tools for Life, the Tint podcast. My name is Ana Pereira, event organizer at Tint, and today we are talking with Laura Curta about the importance of finding core values in life. Find out how to navigate stressful periods, such as the upcoming exam weeks, how core values are your source of motivation, and how to find them. Loads of knowledge packed in this episode just for you. Laura Curta was Tint Life Coach intern in the past year, and now she has her own practice in the Eindhoven region, focused on internationals life coaching. All info and contacts shared during our conversation can be found in the show notes. Let's get to it. Thank you so much, Laura, for accepting our invitation to talk here today for a new episode of the Tint podcast. Today, we are going to talk about core values, and I know you have so much knowledge to share with us and with our student community. But first, let's introduce yourself to our audience. Can you please just tell us a bit more about you, please?
Well, first, hi, thank you for having me. My name is Laura and I am a life coach. I mainly work with expats, with people which left their own home country and moved in another country, moved abroad. I was intern at Tint for 1 year and coached the students here at the TUE. And indeed, I'm very passionate about everything that is related with core beliefs, core values, identity, decision making, everything that is related with mindset, practically.
That sounds great and sounds super important as well, because especially in this time when you are in university, you're dealing with so many life decisions and a mix between where you want to go and where is life is taking you. So it's a time in people's life that there's a lot of questions and a lot of thinking going on. So this mindset is super important.
Definitely. This is, it's very important because we make decision based on our values. So that's the stepping stone to making decisions and to set priorities and set boundaries. So like, if you don't know that, it's a bit, you know, the decisions are shaky, you know, the ground that you build on, it's a bit shaky and sandy. So it's indeed very, very important to know your values before you make major decisions. And being in university, that's definitely an environment where you have to take a lot of decisions, preferably good ones.
Before we move into our conversation about how important core values are, let's maybe step back and try to define what are core values, because it's not the most intuitive concept sometimes.
Oh, yes, definitely. In my workshop about core values and saying, it's not like you go out with a friend and talk about your core values over a coffee. Well, we call them core values. It's a fancy name for practically what's very, very important for you. That's what core values are. And it's not in the sense that your laptop is important for you. It's more of a spiritual concept. Yeah, there are some theoretical concepts practically. For example, freedom, being of service, knowledge, independence, family, connection, being connected with your fellows. These are values. These are some example of our core values. So they are practically fundamental principles that you live by. And where the part gets even trickier is that not only you live by these values, by these principles, you also use them to measure the quality of life. So it's, you build on them and also you use them to measure how good your life is.
That's a powerful tool. But I was wondering, is this a rational exercise where you find your core values, or it's something quite intuitive? Or is it a mix between
both? It's a
mix.
I would say that it's a mix. Now, it also depends on what kind of person you are. There are people which are more spiritual, more intuitive, and it comes easier to them to notice their values. But there are some very straightforward exercises that you just grab pen and paper, your journal, and you answer to some questions to find the values that stand at the base of some of your experience. Do you want me to share with you this?
That sounds like a practical approach. I think all the engineers listening to this are going to like that more.
Definitely. So grab a pen and paper and let's see. So it's quite simple. It's nothing complicated. For example, think about a time you were the most happiest.
The happiest.
The happiest, yes. Think about a time when you were the happiest. And then write down what happened, the circumstances, the experience itself. And then look what was important in that situation. For example, for me, one of the happiest time of my life when I was, it was when I finished university and I finished among the first in my class. And it was extra special because I have as value knowledge. And I managed to push through 3 years of university, high grades, and finish almost at the top of my class. So look at what happened and then look at what was important for you in that experience. Then, moving on, think about one of the saddest moments in your life and write down the experience and then look at what was important in those moments. You can do the same with moments when you felt that you have to stand up for something, when you wanted to make justice, moments when you felt proud of yourself, moments when you felt at peace, when you simply felt that you accept everything that's in your life and you are okay, when you are fine. And you can also add moments when you felt disappointed, because the thing is with values, we feel fulfilled, we feel happy when what we do and what we live is aligned with our values. And we know that something is off when something is not right. When you did you ever have that feeling when like something is not right, but you don't know what exactly?
Definitely.
No, that's
probably
when,
right now.
That's when your core values try to push some buttons and be like, this is not, it doesn't, you know, it's not congruent with what you really want, with what really matters to you. So for those which are more intuitive people can go about their day and just pay a little bit more attention to how they feel in certain situations, you know, when like this feels right, you know, and you're like, but I don't know why, but it just feels right. This decision feels right. This situation feels right.
But I feel two approaches here. So on one side, you look at the best moments of your life, things worth fighting for, moments of that you were proud.
Yes.
This is kind of like a more positive framing approach. But then you mentioned as well situations where the saddest situations that you didn't feel all right. So is that a way of identifying the values that don't make sense to you? So it's exclusion technique?
No. I think that even better, look for the moments when you felt sad, when you felt disappointed, when you felt angry, because that means that sometimes that something that happens is clashing with some values that they are very important to you. And for example, we can see now people protesting for environmental issues. At the base is the value of, we call it environment. As we call this is the value environment. So that's a good value, but because the outside world attacks it, we get angry. We feel that we need to do justice. We might even feel disappointed in the world, in the people which are governing the country and so on and so forth. So no, just because you recall, sad memories, bad memories, moments when you felt angry, disappointed, it doesn't mean that also the values that you identify are necessarily bad, so to say.
Okay, so it's more asking yourself, what was missing in that moment
exactly,
for you.
Exactly. I think the question that covers everything is, what is important here? You know, like, oh, I can tell you, I was so disappointed with this situation. And then I can ask myself, so what was important there? And then you start digging out values.
And you already touched upon briefly in the beginning, but why is this so important? Why is it worthwhile to sit down, answer all these questions with your pen and paper and try to find these core values?
Well, because values sit at the foundation of your goals. First thing first, everyone has goals. I have goals, you have goals, everyone has them. So they stand on the foundation of our goals. Because, for example, can you tell me one of your goals, maybe?
Well, finish my studies now.
Okay, so finishing your studies. Finishing your studies practically means that you write a paper and you present it.
Like, more or less like that.
Yes. No, on a material level.
Yeah.
This is what it means.
Yeah,
but now, what is important to you in this action of writing this paper, of finishing the university?
Whew. I was not prepared that you kind of turned this around. I was supposed to make questions, not answer them.
You see, let's turn around this goal. And there is the very easy example that everyone understands, that let's say that you want a bigger car. Let's say like that. So practically in a physical world, what do you want? You want a bigger car. It's a lot of metal, wheels, and that's it, a bigger car. But why do you want? What is important about this bigger car? And if, for example, if this would be the goal of someone with a family, it would say, I want my children to be safer. So it's the safety that you want. It's not the bigger car in itself. It's not the piece of metal that's in the shape of the car, you know? The same, I want to travel the world. Now, yes, fine, excellent. Why? What is important about this? It's to see other cultures. You want to learn. You want to open your mind. You want to have a broader view of the world and of what is happening. And this is why it's so important, because sometimes we cannot fulfill exactly the goal in its material form as we think about it, you know? For example, traveling the world, the whole world, you know? But if you identify the value underneath, to have a more open mind, to know other cultures, you can find other activities that fulfill that value. And you will still be happy, you will still be fulfilled if you follow the value and not
the material
the material manifestation of that value. And that is amazing. And I can tell you from my experience, I dreamed about being a tour guide. Now I'm here, you can imagine, you can understand that dream is far gone, and I'm, you know, it didn't really happen. And I had a bit of an existential crisis. I studied for it. I dreamed about it before even going to university. Like, did I fail? I'm like, what happens here? And they were like, why do I want to be a tour guide? Because I want to interact with people. I want to explain things to people. I want to teach. But to explain things to people, to teach, to interact with people, there are 100 jobs in this world that can do exactly the same thing. So if you want to pursue the value, you are more flexible in feeling fulfilled. If you are just stuck with just that physical manifestation of it, it's a bit more difficult.
Okay, but that poses a question in my mind, because there's always this tendency, especially in a pragmatic environment as TUE, that we should set SMART goals.
Yeah.
That they are short and actionable and measurable, all of that. But connecting that idea with what you just said, that actually could be a bit of a recipe for disaster, because you are identifying the material manifestation, using your words, mm-hmm. of something that you want to do, instead of going a bit deeper in what is the value that is inspiring that SMART goal. Does that make sense, or am I confusing all of this?
No, it makes sense, but I do not necessarily agree on this, because identifying the values underneath a goal, it doesn't scrape off the goal. It just gives you more flexibility. And it, I think it even opens your mind to other opportunities and other avenues to reach the said goal.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. So, for example, going back to your example, mm-hmm. if your SMART goal was being a tour guide after, I don't know, 3 years of your education.
Yeah.
And you end up not fulfilling that goal, which yeah. could cause that sense of failure, that sense of, that something that is not fulfilling for you. But then you kind of scrapped it a bit. You scrape it a bit, that goal, and you understand, okay, why really I wanted to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out another way to do it.
Yeah.
To be happy anyway. So I was just wondering if all these SMART goals end up not being a bit of a recipe for us to feel a bit, it's putting too much expectations and
yes, it
it's
might.
Focusing in the destination instead of
the journey and the motivation.
Yeah,
that
is what's coming to my mind now.
yes, in how you put it now, yes. Let me, get my words together. So indeed, this SMART goals, this very, very pragmatic and ways of setting goals, it might be a recipe for inflexibility and stubbornness in a way, if you do not look for the motivation behind this goal. And practically that's values. You know, you, for example, if you want to innovate something to, let's say, whatever innovation there is, it is, and you create a roadmap to it, and you do this month and other things in the months to come, and so on and so forth. But if you look at the motivation, the values behind that, you can also see opportunities where you can maybe involve other people, you can do things a little bit differently, and end up to the destination where, you want to go. That is very, very important to know the motivation, what gets you started from, on this road. That is very, very important.
Okay, yeah, just to make it clear what was my point, I'm not against SMART goals.
Yes, definitely.
They are useful,
to
take
them.
Steps. But yeah, what you were saying to me made me think that it's something that you have to run in parallel.
Yes.
And you have always to check again your goals from time to time, just
exactly.
to see if they make sense. That's more the point that I wanted to make. We had the previous episode was about self-leadership with mm-hmm. our other two life coaches, with Mimsa and Margit. And there's a common example that Mimsa shared that I saw it in a workshop as well. And it's something that I actually I'm battling myself with now. That you have, I told you that my goal was finishing my studies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like my SMART goal. I kind of do everything as the framework tells you. But then you reach that goal and suddenly there's a bit of a void. And then it starts all these questions. Okay, where am I going next? Where is my next step? Mm-hmm. Because you focus so much during the 3 years of a bachelor's, the 2 years of a master's in reaching that final destination,
yeah,
that you don't think about anything else. And then you arrive to the destination and suddenly it's like,
now
oh,
what?
Well, so now what's next?
yes. That is why us coaches are advising you to focus on the road, on the motivation, on what is important in this process and not on the end goal. Because you reach your end goal, you finish your university, you get your diploma, you sit in front of the university door and you'd be like, now what?
Okay.
I took my exams, I went to classes, I have the robe on, everything is nice. Now what? And I have also this experience with students from here, from the university, which came like, I want to know what I'm going to do after university. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but I can't help you decide on the title of your position that you will get, you know, or look for. I can help you decide what do you want to do, you know, what is important for you, your boundaries, what are you willing to give in a workplace, what do you want to receive back. And having this skeleton, you go and you look for jobs, you apply for positions that fulfill these needs and fulfill this these values of yours. You cannot be like, yeah, I will be electrical engineer, I don't know, you know, the title, and that's it. So based on your values, you will end up going looking for jobs. Based on your values, you will decide what kind of environment, in which kind of environment you want to work, and what are you willing to give to this employer, and what do you want from the employer. So that's this is why values are so important, because it helps you moving forward after university and after each stage of your life, which closes, ends. You use your values to power you forward so that you don't get the now what moment.
And still, having the what's next moment is always positive. It just means that we arrive to a point that we need to reflect.
Exactly.
So exactly. If you are on that moment, that's no problem whatsoever.
Yes, that is very important, to reach that moment and to reflect, not to feel lost, like, I don't have where to go now. You know, I don't have anything. You have to be aware that there is, you have some values and you have some needs, and you just need to build on that decision after decision, priority after priority, and slowly your life will take a form, a shape, you know, contour itself.
Another question that came just to my mind now after this conversation about the roads of life is, how are these values stagnant or in your life? Do you have a set of values with yourself that it's more or less always the same ones, or it's something that you develop through life and you need to recheck them from time to time?
Good question. And a complicated answer.
Oh, wow.
So practically, by name, we carry the same, kind of the same values all our life, by name, because we cannot really change the name. Yeah. This is why they are core values. You carry, they are instilled in you since you're very little. Usually they come from the environment where you grow up and where you form yourself as an adult. And you carry them with you years and years and over a lifetime. But the definition changes, the order of the values, which value is more important, changes. They do not disappear, they transform. Oh, actually, this is a good idea. They do not disappear, they transform. Long story short, that's the answer. They are not disappearing, they are transforming. And to give you an example, I don't know about you, but about me, when I was like 14, 16, independence was like not to have my mom asking me where I go out, you know?
Freedom, yeah.
Just to be like, bye, mom, and that's it. So that was the definition of the independence. You can imagine at 16. Now I'm 28. Definition of independence means to be able to speak my mind, to have my own opinion, to be able to express my opinions freely without, you know, getting persecuted, and, you know, to have a normal conversation, you know, both ways conversation, and so on and so forth. So that's independence at 28, which is a bit different from independence at 14, right? So we call it by the same name, independence, but it means something different. And then let's take career, because this is a value that changes places, like in a hierarchy of the values. In when, like during university and then after university, career might be your number one value, or they're at the top. You go, you want to transform the world, find an amazing employer, and so on and so forth. Then slowly you start to think, well, maybe I would like to marry this handsome man and woman, have some children, and then career goes down the list, and then family comes first. And this is how they change priorities, so to say. You know, career doesn't mean that it disappears. You still want to go to work. You still have a job that you love. But now your focus might be on family, for example. And career is on the second place, the third place. Depends. So they do not disappear. They transform. They move up and down, like top 40, you know, in music. For 3 years, this was the number one value. And now it's going down because another one is going up. And so on and so forth. So this is, long answer to your question.
Hey, so that's interesting. So basically, you end up having the same foundation of values throughout life, but the definition and the importance of them becomes different.
Yes, yes, exactly.
That's quite interesting. The other question, and this might be a bit silly, but it's something I came across in the workshop as well, and even myself, I ask myself the same question. How many core values can you have? because sometimes it's super hard. We do this exercise with your beautiful cards, by the way, with the values beautiful cards. And for some people, it was super hard to just pick three.
Yes, that's why, in a way, when people are like, how many core values I can have? Like, there's no amount. Because then play, oh my God, I have to pick three. Does it mean that I have to discard the other ones, that I give them up? Or you have as many values as they are, I would say. What is important, it is to be aware of which are the most important ones in this stage of your life, in this season of your life. So it's not like if now you have like five values which you see often, the rest of them, they are not there. They are in the background somewhere, and they might come up in small amounts during, you know, your day-to-day life. So I don't know. I advise people to go for three, maximum five values to focus on every 6 months. So it would be great if you do this exercise with values every 6 months to understand where you stand with your values, which one changed definition maybe, and so on and so forth. Because it's easier to, okay, during an exercise, you can identify 30 values. No, you know, how do you focus on 30 values?
How do you operationalize that, all of that?
Exactly. So pick the five ones which are the most important right here, right now, in this season of your life. And then you do this exercise in 6 months, and then you might see some change. And how you can do, so answer to the questions that I presented at the beginning, with what is the happiest time of your life, the saddest, when you were proud, when you wanted to do make justice, when you felt disappointed, when you felt most at peace. And write as many values as it come to your mind. Write them on pieces of paper, and then it's a very interesting anxiety-giving exercise sometimes. so you tear some pieces of paper, write one value on each piece of paper, and then set your alarm on 30 seconds. And when this 30 seconds expire, you have to give up one value. And do this until you went through all your values. And this is how you can have a grasp of which values are the most important to you at this moment. Because you will see, you look at all your values and like 30 seconds, okay, I can give this up. That means that that's not as valuable now as, you know, you might think, or you can do without, or even you can fulfill one value through fulfilling other values. For example, I did this exercise and it came knowledge and independence. And I'm like, you know, knowledge and independence. How do I choose between them? Like, you know what? I prefer to be independent, because if I'm independent, at least in my definition of independence, I can learn. So I left knowledge. I want independence, because I'm like, if I'm independent, I can do whatever I want. I go on the moon if I want to. You know? So that you have to look at this aspects of each value doing the 30 seconds exercise. And also because you have the pressure of the time, you kind of look for this shortcut. You know, if I give this up, how can I fulfill it with another value? And you get really meaningful insights in it. I really love this exercise.
Okay, so if you don't have any heart problems, you can follow this advice of the 30 seconds.
Yeah, in the workshop where I participate and we did this exercise, one of the participants was like, you know what, I'm giving up. And throw the hands in the air, you know, like, I'm not doing this. But it's like, 30 seconds, I'm like, how do I give up, you know, independence, knowledge, family. How do you give up the value of family? You
know, yeah, hard
does
choices.
It mean that I give away my family right now, you know? So, or health. You know, who wants to give up the value of health?
Hard choices.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's one exercise that you can do every 6 months to get clear on the hierarchy of your values.
But, of course, the values are super important to know where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
But does it make sense to pick values that you want to long for the future, to work towards having more in your life? So when definitely. You do those 6 in 6 months reflection,
mm-hmm.
does it make sense to try to understand what are my values now and what values do I want to have more present in my life, for example?
Oh, definitely, definitely. When you have the list of your values, the top values, you can look at them and see, like, well, I would like, you, for example, let's say that you have top 5 values and you would like the 5th value to be a little bit more present in your life, then of course take it and look for ways to achieve that in your life. That's fine. I think that now this is a good question, because, for example, connection now with the COVID and not being able to go out, I did see that people struggle with this connection value, you know, like, I like to go out with friends. I like to go to a cinema to meet my friends, clubbing, so on and so forth. And now, nothing, you know? So it's good to be like, okay, I want to work on this value. How do I do that? And then you have Zoom meetings and all kind of games that you can play with your friends on your mobile phone and stuff like that. So definitely, if you want a value to be more present in your life, if you see that it will bring you a lot of benefit, if you work on it, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, it's a good exercise to keep our life in check.
Definitely.
But I was wondering, there's a tendency to see the values as in a positive look. Can these values play a bit more naughty role in our lives as well?
Yes, I experienced that on my own skin.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, so you know that I'm trying to run my own business with life coaching.
I know, but the people that are listening, they don't.
Yes, so I have this small business. It's one-man band. And I'm trying to do everything and I'm trying my best, I would say. And lately I was like, what do I do with my life? Where do I go? How do I make people come to me and give me their money? You know, that kind of questions. And in the same time, because I was like, you see how much I learn, how much knowledge I gain, how much I read, why things are not happening. So it troubled me a lot, this question. I went to my coach and my coach was like, do you realize that you value knowledge very much? And at this point, you are using it as an excuse not to fulfill other values that are related with your business, which, for example, is being productive, you know, having financial independence. And I'm like, can you do that? can you use your values to trick yourself in not doing the hard and uncomfortable stuff? Like, look at your situation now, Laura. I'm like, no. So yes, indeed, you might trick yourself into thinking that you fulfill one of your value and say, well, yeah, this is one of my top values. And I really, you know, it's very important for me and I need to work on it while neglecting other values of yours. And that's what you have to, because values seem so important and so meaningful to us that of course we try to, once we get clear on them, we try to go and pursue them. But we have to take care of pursuing them equally, if that makes sense. You know, not to use one as an excuse to not pursue the other one. And in my case, yes, it's uncomfortable to put myself on social media. I'm not a necessary big fan of social media to create content, to even ask for money directly. Like, hey, this is my services, please pay me for them. It's very uncomfortable. So I was like, yeah, I value knowledge. So let's read, let's watch, you know, all kind of workshops and courses and stuff like that. And then these values that were related with my business started to scream and be like, hey, we are here in the dark. What do you do about us? And I ignored them because it was more comfortable to learn than to actually go outside of my comfort zone and be a businesswoman practically.
So, okay, so it's all about balance.
Definitely, definitely. And honestly, when you have this kind of situation, when something is not right, when like something is missing and you feel like you are doing everything, because I felt like I'm doing everything, I have the knowledge, I have the, you know, why, what's wrong here? Something is missing. And ask yourself, what am I ignoring here? What is it missing? What is really missing here? And you know, because when my coach pointed that out, I couldn't tell him that I was blind and I didn't see it, because I kind of felt it too. But I ignored it because it was uncomfortable. And for me, it's easier to learn and be a student than to be a businesswoman. So, yeah.
I think that's a really interesting point to all the business minds.
Oh, yes. Yes. So if you want to start a business, pay attention to this.
You mentioned something quite interesting in your previous statement. So you are a coach, but you have your own coach as well.
Oh, yes. How to explain to you? It's exactly like a doctor goes to another doctor. So even if you're a doctor, you really can't heal yourself just like that. The same with the coach, the same with the psychologist, the therapist. They usually have another person which is more objective and has a different view on things that I have than we have, and that helps us see things differently, get another perspective, you know, gain some more knowledge. Because you don't see what you don't see and you do not know what you do not know. So that's why you need a second opinion, especially in this job, in this trade, so to say. It is really good to have someone that you can talk with, ask some advice, you know, help you change your perspective and help you find different ways of dealing with your own stuff. Because we are not perfect. That's so, just because I'm a coach, it doesn't mean that my life is put together, and no one's life is put together. So we also need help.
But yeah, that's super important to strength that message that you have a lot of knowledge that can help students here or expats, whoever needs it. But there's no perfection. It's always about, again, taking the route, learning along the way, kind of falling a couple of times, sometimes feeling low and lost sometimes. Oh. It's part of the game.
Well, definitely. Well, now that we're on self-disclosure path, yeah, I met my coach. The last time I met him was about a year ago, I think. So I went 1 year without being like, I'm fine, And I met him. It was a month or two ago, something like that. I'm not sure exactly. We had the two meeting hours for 1.5 hours. I cried. I cried because I felt so overwhelmed. So just because I'm a coach, just because I have all this knowledge, that doesn't mean that my whole life is amazing and taken from a fairy tale. No, not at all. And this is why it's good to have someone by your side and to ask for help, because this is what it is. It's someone asking for help. And it doesn't matter what kind of job you have. It doesn't matter who you are. Sometimes it's worth asking for help.
And that's super important.
Definitely.
You are not alone. You don't have to do all of this alone. Just reach out.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think that everyone can relate, especially if you are the kind which values knowledge, like like me, you know, because I'm like, well, I'm a coach. I know all of this, you know, I should not have to ask for help, you know. And I think that in any trade, in any job is like that, you know, like I'm an engineer, I'm a, you know, someone which is supposed to have this knowledge, or I'm supposed to do great things. And if I ask for help, am I less? Am I smaller? Am I, you know, less knowledgeable? No, you're not. You're just human. And that's it. You know, as long as you are human, ask for help when you need it.
I think we are almost by the end of the episode. So I'd like to ask you something, maybe a bit more practical in a way. So we have been talking about the value of values in our life as a more ethereal concept. Mm-hmm. But they can be materialized in something more practical and something more specific.
Yeah.
And exams are coming soon. So most of the people here at UE are going to have exams online, which even increases the stress of the whole situation. Some students are going to have this experience for the first time as well. So do you see any connection or about the values and how can we maybe navigate more stressful situations in our life, like, for example, the exam period?
Oh, yes. That's another thing. You can take a specific situation and then get clear on the value of your values around that specific situation. So what I would advise the listeners to do, sit, take a pen and paper and think about this. What kind of person do you want to be during the exam period? Get clear on that. And then look at the values that that kind of person would have. And while you study, this will really help you when it comes to motivation and when it comes to focus, because inevitably something will distract you. Inevitably something will bring your moral down and you'll be like, yeah, I'm giving up. You know, I'm going to work at McDonald's better than study for this exam. But then remember this kind of person that you would like to be while you study and the values. And then it's just a matter of choosing, you know, sit with your discomfort. Like, for example, if you want to give up because the exam is hard and so on and so forth, fine, complain about it, call 10 friends and tell them about how much this exam sucks. And then think about this, okay, but what kind of person do I want to be in this situation? And that inevitably will boost your morale, you'll boost your motivation, and even your focus. Because we are driven by this, you know, when we aspire to something bigger than ourselves, better than how we are right now. So do this exercise. Try to understand what kind of person you want to be during the exams. And then try to become that person having these values in mind. Like, for example, if you want to be a person which is well organized during the exams, you know, you can get clear on this. You can start to make a schedule. Like, for example, for the next 2 weeks, you learn every day one chapter, let's say like that. And, well, one day stuff happen, the schedule goes to hell, you know, and you can feel disappointed and you can feel down and like, ugh, you know, no, life is not really on your side now. But you're like, okay, I want to be organized. How do I organize this mess now? And then, for sure, your morale will be a little bit like, I can do this, so let's do this. So I would advise people to do this to see if it fits them, this method of going through the exams. It fits me, so...
Okay, so it was already experimented and successful with
yes,
you.
Yes, since I learned the importance of this question of how I want to be in the situation and what's important for me in the situation, I really find myself making better decisions, sticking with this decision, and also pushing through tough times a little bit easier. I acknowledge them. I'm even annoying my partner. You know, complaining about them. And then, but then I'm, you know, I'm getting up and I'm like, okay, so what now? Because, you know, we have to have a resolution to all of this. There's no option to just sit here and wait for the end of the world. So that would be a really good exercise to get clear on your values around the exam session and follow them while, when, you know, tough times hit and you seem a little bit disoriented.
I think that this is a stepping stone in your journey as well.
Yeah.
This is maybe fulfilling some kind of role in what you want to be in the future. So.
Definitely. This helps you stay congruent with your values. This helps you make decisions that you will not regret later. Because one thing is to make decisions that either tell you that it would be good or you are expected to take the decisions or to take the decisions that are congruent with yourself. And you follow your own path and you become the person you want to be, you aspire to be. And don't we want to do that? All of us, you know? So yeah, follow your values, be it exams, be it, I don't know, anything, absolutely anything. Just get clear on your values.
And be kind to yourself.
Definitely. First... Well, feel the feelings and then try to look at how you can move forward towards where you want to go. I think that's the recipe for self-care, moving forward, being successful, going to the moon. That's the recipe, you know, feel the feelings and then look how you can move forward to become who you want to become.
Okay, I think that's the best sentence to finish this episode. Such a powerful takeaway message.
I hope
thank you so
helpful.
Much
thank
for,
you for
this
having
insightful
me.
Episode.
You're welcome.
It was lovely to have you here.
You can find more information about Laura at her website, laurakurte.com, and follow her on Facebook and Instagram at Laura Kurte Coach. Also, you can find out more information on Endorse Coaches page of the Tint website. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the Tint podcast and find more information about what Tint is up to in our website, tint-eindhoven.nl, or by following us on Facebook and Instagram. All info and contacts shared during our conversation can be found in the show notes. My name is Anna Pereira, and I look forward to having you with us for the next episode.